Definitely the station that cares about the youth right here on Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for Youth Unplugged. Brought to you the gang compliments of our friends over at Bank of St. Lucia. All the bank that you need. My friend, yes, I said my friend, joins me on online. Mr. Al Alexander, who's our guest this afternoon. Al, thank you so much for agreeing to have a little chit-chat for the next half hour. We're talking so many things. Specifically, you know, we got to talk lots of pan. I hope you have a pan close by so you can give a little nick, knock, 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 knock.
Wow, he's literally next to me.
I knew that. I absolutely knew that. So, Al, you know, Al, you're a past student of a very past and proud student of the Leon Hess Secondary School. I know you represent Leon Hess everywhere you go. I don't know. It's like Leon Hess is a fake St. Mary's College, you know. I just want to put that out.
No, I don't want to knock down, but I have to give, I mean, the Leon Hess course is a lot of influence from Convent and St. Mary's College. But what I like about it, and just us as society, is that we can get influence from something and still make our own, you know, perception and own brand, and that's what it did.
You know what? If you say so. Now, Al, let's talk from the beginning. Al, from a very young age, what is it that you wanted to do?
Initially, the first career I thought about was actually being a pilot. I remember.
Oh, wow.
Up until from five, I was focused on becoming a pilot. And then, as luck has it, my true passion actually, I got hit by it. So music found me, and then the zeal to be a pilot was no longer. I just knew as soon as music found me. When I could say music found me when I was in Form 2.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing Steel Pan. And in fact, it hit me when I saw a Lego Steel Pan. It was all ladies, females. So maybe the females all around, because I saw it's females, they were enjoying the Steel Pan. And it just caught my attention. And right there, when I went back to the school, luckily, Hess had a Steel Pan program. And the rest is history from there. I just never stopped. Like, I went to all the community bands, the bands in Babano. I went to the, I got involved in all the other steel bands, Diamond Steel, the North Stars, you name them, I got involved with them. And stuff from there.
That's pretty amazing that you found your love of music so early in life, and you still, after what, almost 20 years, you're still continuing how do you say, do you strum, how do you, what do you call, do you pound the notes, how do you call it? You just play. I thought there was a specific, all right, well, you know that better than me. Let's talk about your experience at Leon Hess Secondary School before we even, and let's come up from there. What was that like for you, those 5 years?
I'm so disappointed you try to take Leon Hess comprehensive credit. Oh, man, like, it was beautiful. Like, Hess just created the atmosphere for me to flourish. The structure they had, they were probably one of the only schools on island that had a place for steel band. There was a pan shared. We also shared with Entrepo. Now, also giving kudos to Entrepo, because I would say, at the same time, as much as allowed for the facility there, I must say, because of the influence of the Entrepo Secondary School coming there, it really kept pan alive. And that's when I got incorporated with Mr. Lewis from the Entrepo Secondary School. And I will give him some kudos for my success, because of him, meeting him, and then he really gave me the mentality to be a musician. Initially, I wanted to just be a steel band player. And I would forget that one day we were preparing to go to Trinidad, and it was someone's birthday, and then he asked us to play happy birthday for the person. And all of us were just, we were just confused, like, you never taught us happy birthday. And then he just said us straight, he was like, you guys need to stop thinking you are steel band players or pan mans. You are musicians. And for some reason, I don't know for the other students, but for me, it spoke volumes to me. I was like, you know what? Let me not limit myself to just think that I'm a steel band player. I am a musician. And from then, I think it was in Form 4 or 5. From then, it really struck me that, yo, I'm onto something great. I need to consider myself a musician. You know? And, yeah, so all in that, the culture at Leon Hess, the excellence, it was all there, and they allowed me to perform there. Literally, so much so, like, I remember, I was even reminiscing. minister with someone from Leones once, they were a few forms below me, and they said, like, because of me, it added to the experience in steel band. They said I was right steel band at the school.
Nice.
And I take that proudly, and I, like, literally was running steel band at the school.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. And to see that, you know, you had such a passion at such a young age for the steel pan. I mean, it's sort of, am I correct to say it's sort of a dying art form now, or is it still prevalent?
I'm glad you brought that up. I thought it would come to that, but I didn't think it was going to be so early.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I started thinking about it. It's not a dying art form. But I think the problem with just everything in St. Lucia is there are not enough people constantly advocating for it.
Mm.
And with that, I'm going to give someone a shout-out. The person right now who's prominently advocating for steel band is Shaz. I think you had him. Yeah, Shaz. Everybody knows Shaz.
Yeah, Shaz. Yeah. I think you had him on Youth Unplugged, yeah.
Yes. And I want to give him total kudos for that because he's the one who's keeping steel band relevant in St. Lucia. And, well, not he's the only one, but he's the one using what most people are using for information now, social media. He's the one killing it on social media, and people are thinking that all that represents steel band, but I kid not, it's like every generation we have to reinvent the instrument, and that's why I'm segueing into management, because I realize there are a lot of talents out there, but enough people to get the talent discovered. There are not enough people advocating here. Do you know that there's like in Babono, there was like 5-6 steel bands in Babono. How many people remember that or even know that?
Oh.
Or how many steel bands there are actually on island? They're there. There's some of the bands are still very much active. And also, I'll also take blame on ourselves. Is also, I'm saying, if the steel bands, what are we doing to create opportunities? We need to create more avenues, not opportunities, but more avenues of showcasing the steel bands. So it's just a matter of reinventing and redoing what's already been done. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We literally have to be like, I remember, let's say when I started playing in the early 2000s, the likes of North Stars and Diamond Steel, Diamond Steel used to give bands, oh my gosh, a run for the money. Like, I remember Jazz, the main people used to enjoy Diamond Steel as a sideshow more than the main stage show at the Jazz Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just so prominent in the Northeast, as I like to say, in the early 2000s. But social media wasn't prominent there, and even I remember talking to someone from Diamond Steel. They were like, they wish social media was there during the era, and if social media was there and recorded that, a lot of people would be like, wow, like, what is this phenomenal happening? And kudos to Diamond Steel, who's traveled all the way to Germany, North Star, all the way to Africa. So all those things have been happening. What we need now is for people to tell those stories, or for people to relive those stories that have been happening in the 80s, the 70s, and as early as the 90s. And right now, it's unfortunate in the social media era, there is nothing much recorded, as I said, except for stars who do it.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, we gotta come back to talking about the management aspect of the industry, because you have a lot of experience with that. So we're gonna come back to that in a little bit, stick a pin in that. But let's talk about the islands that you have traveled to through the steel pan, because I know you are a regular on the Antigua circuit. I've talked to you a couple of times.
I wish I knew someone from Antigua right now to just visit how amazing Antigua is.
I wonder who you could ask right now. Yeah, let's talk about your experiences and the distance playing pan has taken you.
Yes, in fact, I'm not even going to fool myself out of it. I'm going to speak up to all the steel pan players who have been doing tours, mainly to Trinidad first, and we've been doing that for years. And once again, even when we used to do it, something I always didn't like is that we're not getting acknowledged for that. Like, we're representing St. Lucia every single year at Carnival in the Trinidad panorama, and not many people know of that feat. So big up to all the steel pan players that have been doing that along with me. So I did Trinidad a few years, and Antigua was my summer fling. Like, I think I did Antigua.
Yeah, I agree with that phrase. That's you're right.
The experience was on another level, and I just loved it. And I remember I started off by just going by myself. I think the first 3 years I did Antigua on my own, and then I realized, I kind of just keep that to myself, and that's why I decided I want to get more St. Lucians to experience it. And then I started doing a tour with a group of St. Lucians for about 5 years, 5 to 6 years. Antigua to enjoy the panorama and the culture in Antigua. Other tours I did Martinique, I did Guadeloupe. I think that's with just a steel band. Those are the places I went with steel band. I think Dominica was in it. Dominica was also in it too.
Nice.
And then I migrated to cruise ships, which brought me But just traveling for touring with steel band with groups. That's the places I went to.
That's pretty awesome. Let's talk about the cruise ship experience, because a couple of weeks ago I had a young lady who did a massage therapy on the cruise ship, and so now it's interesting to hear from the other perspective. What is it like being on that floating house for such an extensive period?
I love every moment.
Are you serious?
I'm in cruise ship Tabanka right now. I miss it.
Okay, you know, let's be real. You're on one of the good ships. Like, you're not on like the you're on a proper ship, but a more sophisticated ship. So I guess
as much as you try to, their ships are branded just like everything else. There are brands and ships. They cater to different clientele. Right. I will not take away that. However, I've experienced most of the Carnival brands. I've experienced all of them. I've experienced the Carnival, which is the fun ships. I've experienced the Celebrity, which I work for now, which is more of the Porsche, the
upper echelons.
Yeah. And honestly, I when people ask me which cruise line I prefer, it's about branding. It's just like, what do you want to eat today? Do you want to eat Chinese today? Do you want to eat fast food today? Do you want to go on wine and dine? It depends on your appetite at the time. So there's no better in my objective. So I'm not going to throw or print any cruise line right now. I'm just going to like that. Me as a musician on the ship, I will say the musicians have a better experience. Well, I don't use the word better. I just think it's a more interesting, a more luxurious or prestigious, prestigious experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because entertainers have gotten the package that, you know, they're an elite. I don't like to use the word, but that's the branding that entertainers have fortunately gotten. So, on cruise lines, we get the best of the crew experience, meaning the hours we work is less, but I think we deserve that regardless, because I think musicians and artists put a lot of time into mastering the art.
Mm-hmm.
To do 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day, it's nothing compared to the amount of hours you have to put in for you to produce three to 4 hours of work.
Mm-hmm.
And the perks, we are normally one of the crew that gets the perks. So a perk on a cruise line would be being allowed to enjoy all the facilities on the ship. So if you want to, you don't really have to ask for permission to go to the restaurant. You don't really have to ask for permission to use the spa. You don't really have to ask permission to be at the bars. You just have to use your discretion.
You're
still representing the company. So I don't think you should go out the bar and get drunk. And, you know, you can't do that. You can't mess around as a guest either. You know, that's a 2-0 tolerance on cruise line. But you can literally enjoy the facilities, which I'm one of them, and I enjoy the facilities inside and out.
I can imagine. Not surprisingly, in such a short space of time, you have moved from just being a musician on the ship to actually, is it a cruise director? Is that the position?
Activity manager. Well, you can call it, my position is like an assistant cruise director. So basically, a cruise director is the celebrity or the face of the ship.
Oh my goodness. I've seen a cruise director, and that's probably the hardest working person on the ship. That ain't an easy job, bro.
It is. Because they're in charge of, normally cruise directors, from cruise ship, when cruise ship started way back then, they're basically they're like the host of the house. You come to someone's house, you want the host. They're your host. They tell you where everything is. They get you comfortable. They encourage you to go to different events. They speak to you. They guide you what to do, what not to do. And as I said, after a while, in its evolution, they became the celebrity. So people literally book cruises now because of the cruise director. It's like, on this ship, or Ron is on this ship, I want to be on this ship. Because
hey, don't be prophesying, because let me tell you, I'm almost tempted, bro. I'm almost tempted.
Yeah.
How did you work your way to being like the assistant?
You know, funny enough, it worked its way towards me. I will say like that, I will not take too much credit of saying that I deserved it. I just really work towards myself. In fact, I still think I deserve it to some extent because I got some advice once, and someone said success is all about preparation. And I feel like I was just enjoying my preparation, being here in St. Lucia, the experiences at different radio stations, the emceeing here and there. And I went to cruise line with no experience of what cruise ships are about.
Okay.
As soon as I got there, the first contract I did 10 years ago,
it's been that long?
Yeah, it's been that long.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
It's been that long. When I did one 10 years ago, when I came back, I think that's when you met me. When I came back, you met
right,
me.
Right.
Yeah. And, so as soon as I got to the cruise line, I noticed the cruise director, and I was like, that looks like me. That looks like something I could do. I could relate to that. The reason I didn't think of it as a job to aspire to, mainly because I'm coming to the industry, I don't know the organizational structure. And it was someone, I think the woman was maybe in her 50s, she was an older woman. So in my mind, also that's associated to the job. I'm thinking it's some old person, years of experience, whatever. Until after I did cruise, I went back to teaching, and then I came back 5 years ago. As soon as I came on the ship, I met the cruise director, and he was younger than me. I came back when I was like, I think mid-20s or late-20s, and the guy was like 23 or 24. And he was the cruise director, and I was just like, and he was the cruise director, and he was black. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, whoa, so this is up my alley. And then just start studying the job, and I realized, you know, it's part of the host team. You must be a host to move up to being a cruise director. And I was like, wow. And I kid you not. However, I try to stay disciplined. I try to not to be too much of a nomad. I try to stay, sometimes I want to stay focused on a path. So I say, you know what, I'm focusing on being a musician again. Let me focus on music. And a disappointment made opportunity for blessing. The disappointment in being a musician or steel band player on a cruise line is I'm only allowed for a period of time on the ship because I'm only allowed for the season, the Caribbean season, which the winter season, so October till April. And then for the rest of the year, I'm no longer needed on the ship. And it was a blow for me because I resigned from teaching. It was a year-round job, and I'm going on a cruise ship, and I'm only working half of the year. So I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do when I come back home in April? And I kid you not, I was naturally just intrigued by being involved in everything on the ship. So I would go to the deck parties, I would go to the trivias, I would go to everything, just being me, not necessarily auditioning or looking for exposure, nothing. And I remember one day I was in the basketball court, and the show host, which is the assistant cruise director, he saw me on the court, and he told me, "Oh, would you consider being a show host?" And I was like, and I was confused because, as I said, I was trying to stay focused on music. And then I told him no, because I think I wanted to focus on my music. And then I thought about it. Remember my dilemma of being home for half of the year. I was like, right. Well, why not do it on my off season when I'm not a musician? And I went back into the office and I told them, yes, I'm interested. And right there on the spot, the cruise director and they recommended me to the corporate. And literally, I think when I went home, I got the job a month after. They called me to become a show host on the ship. And then from then, I got my fit in already. And then I just used that experience, package it, make sure I record all the material I have for future references. I would get it. And then future references came up with Celebrity Cruise Line, which they offered me directly to be an activity manager, which is, as I said, second in command in entertainment on the ship.
And that comes with a lot more perks than normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, a better salary, yeah? And
yeah.
How do you balance the musician and that, you know, like a more serious position? How do you manage that, the balance?
I think that using the right word, manage, but I think I just marinate the two. Yeah. When I came up, my focus, honestly, was I needed to, especially demonstrating that they realize my experience is at manageable position. I was like, you know what, I need to prove myself, so I need to focus a little more. So I started focusing, making sure I understand all aspects of the job, learning and I got a new company, so I had to learn the new company, the branding, everything. So I literally, I remember posting that, I put my steel pan in the back burner. And then when I got comfortable, I was like, why do I need this in the back burner? Why can't
and balance the two.
Start of making activities. So I was like, I'm going to make an activity in steel band. And I literally started doing that. I literally said, I think I did a Caribbean sail away experience with my steel drum. I just decided to make that a thing. And one of something I'm proud of and which I'm advocating for moving forward is I want Caribbean on the whole to not be a season. And that's something bigger than my dream. That's actually in my future dreams of what I want to do. I want to make Caribbean not a season. I want to make sure when we go to Europe, when the ships are in Europe, or when the ships are in Alaska, in Australia, that we can have anything Caribbean. And Caribbean is one of the only things actually on the ship that is seasoned. The Mexicans is not seasoned. The Italian is not seasoned. The Broadway is not seasoned. They have it all year round. They have it in all regions. And my aim in moving into management is really to package Caribbean that we can have it in different regions.
Interesting. That is a big dream, and I actually hope that you accomplish it, because Caribbean music, it's such a mixture and diverse, you know, it's a diversity of genres, feelings, food, dance. Let me tell you, being West Indian, being a Caribbean, we should be really proud, and we should consider ourselves highly privileged to be West Indian, you know. Like, I tell you, we should be highly proud to be West Indian. Let's talk about what's next, because, I mean, you are now currently grounded, which must be very difficult for you, and, I mean, all the people I know who are employed on the cruise ships, I know they're having a difficult
time. Yes, actually, as you said, I want to reach out to all seafarers out there. If you're listening, if you know someone who's a seafarer, please reach out to them. It is really, really difficult. I feel blessed that...
Why? Why is it difficult? Is it the money? Is it the lifestyle?
Okay, let me explain. Okay, let me explain the reality of working on a cruise ship. And I'm glad you brought that up so people can empathize with us. So when you work on a cruise ship, you stay away for about 6 months, and you come back for 1 or 2 months. I always tell people, I've accepted that I am no longer living in St. Lucia. I come to vacation in St. Lucia. And let me explain the dynamics of vacationing in St. Lucia and why you're not connected. So I was going to ship for 6 months. Some people more than that. My contracts are a little shorter. Right now, mine are actually 4 months now because as a manager, it's shorter. That's the perk of being a manager now.
Okay.
But an average crew member is 6 to 9 months on the ship. They come home for a month. When they come home, everyone is excited. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see Al. So they make plans 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and then everyone goes back to the reality of, I have work to go to. Like, Al, I cannot go out with you today. Al, I cannot go out with you tomorrow. You are on vacation.
True.
For the rest of the week, are alone. And you, then you, it's 16, you are no longer part of society. You are no longer connected in society like that. You're no longer connected with the movement of society. And most people pluck out of society. So that means when you come back, nobody's looking for a job when they come back in St. Lucia. And this is something no one predicted. COVID is something no one predicted.
Indeed.
So they came back to St. Lucia, and then they're not connected. They don't, it's been years, some of them maybe years, they have not made any connection with this company, that company, you know. So to say, hey, I'm back on island, I'm looking for opportunity. They're basically like any school child just leaving school trying to come back in the workforce. They literally have to start back from scratch. Mm. So it's extremely difficult. They're probably not saying nothing. And also, I think in our society, we need to be careful with stereotyping and stigmatizing people. I think sometimes there is, put the elephant out there. Some people think the cruise ship, oh, they're making all that money, they're good, but money is made to spend, and think about it. Most of these people have not been working since May. So add that up, since May, and you have bills at home you have to pay, you have people to take care of, and it's since May, so many months, people probably have nothing right now, and they have no idea when they're going back to the cruises. So I apply to anybody listening who knows a seafarer to reach out to your seafarers. If you have anything you can offer them, and yeah, we're on people, you know?
Pretty amazing. Let's say that we go back to, I can't even say go back to normal, but let's say that the new normal comes into effect and, you know, cruise ship life is reopened and there are young people probably interested in saying, hey, listen, I might be interested in, you know, taking that chance. What are some of the advice that you could give them?
I would definitely encourage any young person to go on the cruise ship. company to that send us, it's wrong for that. It's just it just fast forwards it. It brings you to that realization much quicker. So, you know, go on the cruise ship, and as a young person, you go on the cruise ship, you get those experience, and the money you make, if you already have a vision, it's quicker to invest back with that vision, because a lot of young people, the money they would make at 20 on incentive is not, is they will make 3-4 times that on a ship. So literally, most people, as I said, if they have a solid vision of what they want to do, they can accomplish quicker. So I would tell someone, go on a ship, invest 2-3 years, save that money. Another thing I would just tell people, have a plan. So you come there, you save, you know what you get into worth. I know a lot of people, even before I went on ships, that build their homes with cash. They didn't even need a loan, you know? So that could be a plan. If you just want to build a home, you do that. If you want to build a business, and that's what I would tell people. Make sure you do an investment. So build a business, start registering a business, and invest in that business. So when if you don't want to do ships forever, you can fall back. I don't think anybody really wants to do ships forever. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I know some people say they actually want to do it forever, you know. I know, for example, for my 50th birthday, I'm planning to do a world cruise. So, you know, I'm saving up for that, you know. So definitely feel free to contribute to that, you know, because you're going to be good. when this is all over, I'm talking about your seafaring life, what's next?
There's a part of me, just like everybody, I just want to say I did it. I want to make sure I achieve the dominance of in charge of entertainment on ships, which is the cruise director, which technically I'm shadowing already. I'm an assistant cruise director. I want to achieve that. I just want to get up on my butt and say I did it. I became a cruise director. And not just for that, I want to also make sure that I get a little more influence into corporate, which is corporate is normally the head office of the cruise line, because I want to start breeding and selling, as I said, back to the Caribbean. I want to sell Caribbean to them as a package, not as a season, but as a package, so I can live it. And actually, I'm building my business. I already have it registered. I want to actually start selling entertainment to the cruise line because of my experience. I want to package entertainers and sell it to the cruise line, be it musicians, be it dancers, be it, and I want to start. And that's what we have to do. We're talking about Caribbean music. Ronnie, that's the problem. We are waiting for the world to discover us. And the problem is not the world. It's us. We need to put out there. And kudos to Dennis Segment. That's exactly what Dennis Segment did. The DJs, because of social media, DJs are just putting the music out there, and it's in their face. So that's what moving into management, I realized we need more people who want to take the product and splash it all over the world. And that's what I want to move into already, because I realized there is a need for it.
That's pretty amazing. Al, well, we want to thank you so much for that very insightful. Now, I want to become a cruise director all of a sudden. I don't know why. It just inspired me to become a cruise director. So when you become a cruise director and they ask you for assistance, I will be more than willing to shadow you. Al, of course, people might be listening to you, especially those entertainers who might be looking for some advice, management. Please feel free to give out your handles so that people can get...
Yes, you can definitely touch base with me on Instagram, alxalx.xander, X-A-N-D-R. Facebook, alxander. I'm also free with my WhatsApp, 286-0863. You can contact me on all those things, and I'll definitely guide anybody. As I said, I'm almost ready to start my business, so you can probably start sending me material so we can help you package and get you on this cruise line and beyond. You know, my niece's cruise ship, but I'm thinking beyond already.
That's amazing, Al. Thank you so much. And, you know, we just want to wish you compliments of the season and hope that, you know, you get a bit of grounding before, you know, it's time to go back on the ship.
Exactly.
Al, we'll be in touch. Thank you so much. Of course, Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International is brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia.